Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a conference message that was given by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency. It was a talk he gave titled The Gift of Grace. Now, the reason that we're doing this is because there's probably a lot of Christians outside of the LDS Church who are looking in, listening to this message, and wondering if the Mormon Church is actually making a course correction when it comes to their doctrine of grace.
And Bill, you have written an article called A Gift of Grace in our newsletter for the May-June 2015 Mormonism Researched. If somebody wanted to get a PDF copy of that and be on our regular list, how do they do that?
Go to the website and subscribe. We'd be glad to send that to you. In this conference message, he talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but then he uses a clever expression that I think a lot of Christians miss.
He said this, "Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the plan of mercy appeases the demands of justice and brings about means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance."
Okay, let me stop you there because this is what I'm talking about. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the plan of mercy appeases the demands of justice. Did you catch that? It wasn't mercy itself on the part of Christ that appeases the demands of justice. It's a plan that a Mormon must implement in their personal life.
And that idea of plan of mercy comes straight from Alma chapter 42, verse 15, which he does cite in the endnote.
Let's talk about this plan, because I don't think a lot of Bible-believing Christians really understand that in the concept of Mormonism, they have a doctrine of mercy. Just as they have a doctrine of grace, they have a doctrine of mercy. Again, we need to define what they mean when they use words like that.
Bruce McConkie, an apostle of the church years ago, in The Promised Messiah, The First Coming of Christ, page 242, said, "All must repent to be free. All must obey to gain gospel blessings. All must keep the commandments to merit mercy."
Now, Bill, to merit mercy.
You've said before that to you is like fingernails on a chalkboard.
It most certainly is, because it's impossible to merit mercy. If you were to merit the mercy, it's no longer mercy. It's an exchange of works or goods or money or whatever. But in this case, of course, it would be on the Mormon's part to exchange his personal righteousness, his personal obedience, and then God extends this mercy afterwards, not before.
And we should define for Christians, what does mercy mean? It's not receiving what is due. And we read earlier in this series, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and have come short of God's glory. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So as Christians, we believe then that we do not receive what we really do deserve. That is mercy. Whereas grace is getting something you don't deserve. And there's a different nuance there.
Now, here's a statement from Richard G. Scott. He gave this in a conference message in 2006. You can find this in the conference edition of Ensign Magazine, November 2006, page 42. It was a message titled, "The Atonement Can Secure Your Peace and Happiness." Richard G. Scott said this, "The demands of justice for broken law can be satisfied through mercy, earned by your continual repentance and obedience to the laws of God. Such repentance and obedience are absolutely essential for the atonement to work its complete miracle in your life." You know, you see, folks, this is why you've got to be very careful on the wording and the definitions of the terms.
And this is what we would call synergism, that you somehow can work with God to accomplish the goal of what they call exaltation.
What Mormons fail to realize is that we believe the demands for justice were satisfied in the complete work of Jesus himself. It wasn't a partial payment, it was a complete payment. There's nothing that we can possibly add to this complete payment. Now, Mr. Uchtdorf goes on to say, our sins, though they may be as scarlet, can become white as snow. I don't think we'd have an argument with that. The difference, of course, would be in how you get them to become white as snow. He goes on to say, because our beloved Savior, quote, gave himself a ransom for all, end quote, an entrance into his everlasting kingdom is provided unto us. But then he goes on to say, the gate is unlocked. He's going back to this metaphorical grace unlocks the gates of heaven. He says, the gate is unlocked. But notice, Christian, though Mormons may say the gate is unlocked by this means of mercy, this plan of mercy, or this concept of grace, how does a person walk through that gate? He goes on to say,
but the grace of God does not merely restore us to our previous innocent state. If salvation means only erasing our mistakes and sins, then salvation, as wonderful as it is, does not fulfill the Father's aspirations for us. His aim is much higher. He wants his sons and daughters to become like him.
Now, in that concept, of course, he's talking about this idea that Mormons can become gods, or they can become exalted in the next life. Every Mormon that you'll talk to will tell you that this is not a mere act of mercy, and this is not just an act of grace on the part of God. This is something that can be accomplished only if the Mormon is going to live all the commandments, repent of all their sins, which in the Mormon vernacular means that they've confessed and abandoned all their sins. This is not something that is merely given freely as a gift, as we would understand a gift is given.
Yeah, David B. Haight said in a general conference back in 1989, and it's found in the Ensign, November 1989, on page 61, he said, immortality comes to us as a free gift by the grace of God alone, without works of righteousness. Eternal life, however, is the reward for obedience to the laws and ordinances of his gospel. And we've been talking about this for these past broadcasts over and over again. It has to be earned. It's obedience. It's what you do in order to attain this status.
But can you see why a person who's not schooled in that kind of definition could be confused
Absolutely.
By what Uchtdorf is saying?
Sure.
Because he's making it sound like you cannot earn your way to heaven. That's exactly what he said under the section, Grace Unlocks the Gates of Heaven. He says, we cannot earn our way into heaven. The demands of justice stand as a barrier which we are powerless to overcome on our own. But as you mentioned earlier, it is a synergism. He allows you to have this grace that enables you to keep those necessary commandments and ordinances that Mormons feel are absolutely essential in order to achieve exaltation.
And he goes on, Uchtdorf does, and says, with the gift of God's grace, the path of discipleship does not lead backward, it leads upward. It leads to heights we can scarcely comprehend. It leads to exaltation in the celestial kingdom of our Heavenly Father. And as we've been quoting, you don't get there by the mercy or grace alone. It's based on your obedience.
And now he kind of leads into that, where he says, to inherit this glory, we need more than an unlocked gate. We must enter through this gate. How do we enter this gate in a Christian context? We enter the gate, this metaphorical gate, by our faith in what Christ did for us.
Romans 10:9-10 says it very clearly. Believe in the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that he is Lord.
And if we are to believe that we are justified by our faith in what Christ did, that's what gets us through this gate. But that's not what Mormonism teaches. Uchtdorf says we need more than an unlocked gate. We must enter through this gate with a heart's desire to be changed, a change so dramatic that the scriptures describe it as being, quote, born again, yea, born of God, changed from our worldly and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. What's the footnote to that? Footnote 21.
Footnote 21 says Mosiah 27:25.
Now notice he has to go to a non-biblical source to justify that position. That would not be something that we would say as Christians is a requirement in order to be justified in the eyes of God. Now I'm not saying, please understand me, I'm not saying that a born-again believer in the biblical sense shouldn't have a desire to be changed. They most certainly should have a desire to be changed. They're going to be changed from the inside out. But to say that that's what makes you being born again would certainly not be a New Testament understanding.
In the next section, Uchtdorf talks about, second, grace opens the windows of heaven, and he says this, another element of God's grace is the opening of the windows of heaven, through which God pours out blessings of power and strength, enabling us to achieve things that otherwise would be far beyond our reach. It is by God's amazing grace that his children can overcome the undercurrents and quicksands of the deceiver, rise above sin, and be perfected in Christ.
Now, did you notice in that portion, though, where he talks about enabling us to achieve things that otherwise would be far beyond our reach?
So it's more than just being given a free gift. It enables you to do what you need to do.
And you know what? He's certainly within the definition of grace that Mormons have always seemed to have understood, that it's an enabling power.
And that can be proven by the next statement he makes. Though we all have weaknesses, he says, we can overcome them. Indeed, it is by the grace of God that if we humble ourselves and have faith, weak things can become strong. Throughout our lives, God's grace bestows temporal blessings and spiritual gifts that magnify our abilities and enrich our lives. His grace refines us. His grace helps us to become our best selves.
Sounds a little Joel Osteen
it
there.
It sure does.
Sentence,
and I
it?
Would say I disagree with him in the idea that his grace refines us. No, it doesn't. It revolutionizes us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, old things have passed away, all things become new. The idea that we become new creations in Christ, and that's what we become. When we become a believer, it's not a refining, it's a whole transformation.
When he says, though we all have weaknesses, we can overcome them, it was Spencer Kimball that used that same kind of terminology, but he said that in order to be exalted, you have to overcome those weaknesses, that repentance, according to Kimball, had to permeate every aspect of your life, which of course would reinforce that idea that repentance is not just a heartfelt contrition for one sin or two sins, not just a confessing of one sin or two sins and an abandonment of one sin or two sin or a few, but all of your sins.
And when he says we can overcome them, and I say, no, Jesus already overcame death and I can have life through him. If you're a Latter-day Saint hearing us, please understand you still have to add on to the mercy and grace by overcoming all things.
And what makes that so offensive to us as Bible-believing Christians is because we look at Christ's sacrifice on the cross as being all-sufficient for our salvation. The best that God has for us was made available by Christ's sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, and that his righteousness becomes ours when we put our faith in what he did for us on that cross.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Looking for a resource written for young people that explains the Mormon religion from a biblical worldview? Mormonism 101 for Teens by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson addresses basic LDS doctrine while answering important questions such as, is it okay to date my Mormon friend? This book will help you better understand what can otherwise be a complicated religion. Mormonism 101 for Teens, available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or purchase online at mrm.org.